2 Years, 8 Months, and 28 Nights by Salman Rushdie. Read by Robert G. Slade. One is not a believer in fairy tales. There is no theology, no body of dogma, no ritual, no institution, no expectation for a form of behavior. They are about the unexpectedness and mutability of the world. George Surtees. Instead of making myself write the book I ought to write, the novel that was expected of me, I conjured up the book I myself would have liked to read, the sort by an unknown writer from another age and another country, discovered in an attic. Italo Calvino. She saw the dawn approach and fell silent discreetly. The Thousand Nights and One Night. The Children of Ibn Rushd. Very little is known, though much has been written, about the true nature of the jinn, the creatures made of smokeless fire. Whether they are good or evil, devilish or benign, such questions are hotly disputed. These qualities are broadly accepted, that they are whimsical, capricious, wanton, that they can move at high speed, alter their size and form, and grant many of the wishes of mortal men and women, should they so choose, or, if by coercion, they are obliged to do so, and that their sense of time differs radically from that of human beings. They are not to be confused with angels, even though some of the old stories erroneously state that the devil himself, the fallen angel Lucifer, son of the morning, was the greatest of the jinn. For a long time, their dwelling places were also in dispute. Some ancient stories said, slanderously, that the jinn lived among us here on earth, the so-called lower world, in ruined buildings and many insalubrious zones, garbage dumps, graveyards, outdoor latrines, sewers, and, wherever possible, in dunghills. According to these defamatory tales, we would do well to wash ourselves thoroughly after any contact with a genie. They are malodorous and carry disease. However, the most eminent commentators long asserted what we now know to be true, that the jinn live in their own world, separated from ours by a veil, and that this upper world, sometimes called Peristan or Fairyland, is very extensive, though its nature is concealed from us. To say that the jinn are inhuman may seem to be stating the obvious, but human beings share some qualities, at least, with their fantastical counterparts. In the matter of faith, for example, there are adherents among the jinn of every belief system on earth, and there are jinn who do not believe, for whom the notion of gods and angels is strange in the same way as the jinn themselves are strange to human beings. And though many jinn are amoral, at least some of these powerful beings do know the difference between good and evil, between the right-hand and the left-hand path. Some of the jinn can fly, but some slither on the ground in the form of snakes, or run about barking and baring their fangs in the shape of giant dogs. In the sea, and sometimes in the air as well, they assume the outward appearance of dragons. Some of the lesser jinn are unable, when on earth, to maintain their form for long periods. These amorphous creatures sometimes slide into human beings through the ears, nose, or eyes, and occupy those bodies for a while, discarding them when they tire of them. The occupied human beings, regrettably, do not survive. The female jinn, the jinnias or jinniri, are even more mysterious, even subtler and harder to grasp, being shadow women made of fireless smoke. There are savage jinniri and jinniri of love, but it may also be that these two different kinds of jinnia are actually one and the same, that a savage spirit may be soothed by love, or a loving
Sample complete. Ready to continue?